I was reading an article this week that was talking about Advent being a season of reflection and preparation. And while the article was talking about, of course, that what we all know, Advent is a time of preparation and reflection over the coming of Jesus Christ, I couldn't help but think about the fact that for many of us, we spend way more time preparing and reflecting on the secular side of Christmas. We plan our schedules, we prepare for the parties, and we do all these things and don't necessarily keep Jesus at the forefront of our thoughts. And absolutely, we make time for church and church stuff along the way, and we decorate our yards and our houses, and we put our nativities up. But do our words and our thoughts truly reflect our faith? Truly reflect that we are spending this time preparing our hearts for Jesus' return? I see constantly the little cutesy slogans and what Jesus is the reason for the season, and he is, but are we showing that when we get all incensed because someone said Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas? Are we showing that Jesus is the reason for the season when we act like a, I won't even say that word, but when we act horrible because someone at the store wants to check our receipt? Is that truly, truly reflecting Jesus? Anyway, I'm already getting off track this morning, so try to rein it in here. For at least the next little bit, try to put all thoughts of the secular side of Christmas out of your mind. Think about the Jesus that we are waiting for, the Jesus who will come again, the Jesus who, when he returns, will not be a helpless little baby in a manger. The baby has grown up into our Savior. He has grown up into God, who will absolutely judge all of our deeds, including how we react to those people wanting to check our receipts, or who tell us, have the audacity to tell us Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Mark 1. Read along with me, or listen as I read the first 8 verses of the Gospel of Mark. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, Mark doesn't waste any time getting to the point of his gospel. If you think about the beginning of Matthew, and Matthew shows us the genealogy of Jesus, helping us to understand and see God's plan from the beginning. But Mark jumps right into talking about John. He gets right to the point. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Mark says this is the good news, the gospel, and it's all about Jesus, who was both Messiah and Son of God. Y'all, these aren't just titles. They speak totally of the hope and promise and long-anticipated deliverance for Mark's audience. It's also the good news for us. And yes, it's about Jesus, who is both Messiah and Son of God. And yes, those aren't just titles for us either. Jesus is our hope and promise of our own deliverance. Mark quotes Isaiah when he says, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." Through that quote from Isaiah, Mark introduces us to John the Baptist, the messenger, the forerunner of Christ. John is reminiscent of Elijah. He's clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He's a figure of the wilderness, of raw, unfiltered faith, calling people to repentance and baptizing them in the Jordan River. His message is clear and uncompromising. Prepare, y'all get ready. There's something great coming. And this call of John the Baptist it's not just historical. It wasn't just for that time. It reaches us today. And how do we, as modern day believers, prepare the way for Jesus? John's message is as relevant right now as it was then. It's a call to self-examination. It's a call to turn away from missteps and mistakes. And it's a call to ready our hearts for the coming of Jesus Christ. As we think about this text, let us also consider our own wildernesses. Those places of spiritual barrenness, those deserts we often find ourselves in. How can we respond to John's call to prepare in a way, to prepare the way in our hearts and in our world? As we go through this Advent season, let us embrace the preparation of making room for Christ. John the Baptist's voice rings out in the wilderness, urging people to repentance and baptism. But what is this wilderness? It's not just the geographical location. It is a spiritual landscape that we all navigate. In this wilderness, in our wildernesses, we face trials, but we also experience transformation. In our wildernesses, the unnecessary is stripped away and what is essential is revealed. It is where we encounter our vulnerabilities and we confront our innermost selves, the real us. In the solitude of our personal wilderness, we hear God's voice most clearly, and His voice is calling us into a deeper communion with Him. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Repentance is the essential preparation for the coming of Jesus, for the coming of our Lord. It's an acknowledgement of our need for God's grace and turning away from our transgressions. Repentance is not simply feeling bad about our sins. Repentance is about committing to a changed life, a life oriented toward God and God's will. As we prepare for the coming of Jesus, we are invited to enter into this process of repentance. And it is a process. We've talked before about the fact that sin is fun. It's enjoyable. If it wasn't, we wouldn't want to do it so badly. But turning away from it is hard. And quite often, it's a one step forward, two step back situation. But the first step is always to examine our lives, to identify areas where we have wandered from the path that God has set for us. It's a time when we start planning the tangible steps toward returning to that path and returning to God. It's not enough to merely smooth out the rough edges. We must make our paths straight, creating direct, unobstructed ways for the Lord to enter our hearts and our lives. You know, we've talked before about during Isaiah's day when he wrote the words to make straight the paths. Anytime if a king was coming into the area, they would send people out to clear out the roads, to remove any obstacles, clear out any detours, because the king was coming and they did not want him hindered by obstacles. Our obstacles are our sins. They get in the way of us and Jesus. We must look at our lives and begin working on turning away from the sins that are coming in between us and Jesus. John's message, though, didn't end with repentance. He pointed beyond himself to the one that is coming after him, the one more powerful than he. John baptized with water, but the one coming would baptize with the Holy Spirit. This is the promise of transformation and empowerment. It is a promise of a new life, one where we aren't just merely clean on the outside, but we are transformed from within by the power of the Holy Spirit. This baptism by the Holy Spirit is a total immersion into the life of God. It's a baptism into a new way of being, of living, of relating to the world around us. As John prepared the way for Jesus, John straightened the path and cleared the roads for Jesus to come to people. He also prepared the people for a new kind of baptism, a baptism that wouldn't just symbolize repentance, but would bring about the very reality that it symbolized. John's prophetic voice calling from the wilderness was not just calling for personal change, though. It was also heralding a new era. John's baptism was a sign of washing, of cleansing. It was an outward symbol that told others that the baptized person was ready to turn their life around and to turn away from their sin, to walk with Jesus. But John knew that his role was only preparatory. After me comes the one more powerful than I, he proclaimed. This shows us the humility that John had. He recognized his role in God's grand plan. John knew it wasn't his job to save people. He knew it was his job to show people the way to the one who could save them. The coming one, Jesus, would offer water and the Holy Spirit. John's baptism was a call to repentance, but Jesus' baptism is an invitation to pre-birth. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit is to be submerged into the life and love of God, to be raised to a new way of life that reflects the heart and character of Jesus. This is the heart of Advent, y'all. It's not just the anticipation of Christ's birth, but the expectation of his life-giving spirit. As we light the candles and sing the carols and recount the story, we prepare for something that is alive, something that breathes, something that moves. We are preparing for the very breath of God, the Holy Spirit. In our anticipation for Christmas, we cannot forget the message of John the Baptist. The voice in the wilderness did not call for mere ritual. That voice in the wilderness calls for a profound change that can only be captured in the act of transformation, of being buried and raised anew. Our preparation for Christmas is not just about the externals, the gifts, the decorations, the festivities. It's about preparing our inner selves. It's about making straight the way in the deserts of our hearts for the Lord to come and live. through us instead of us. But how do we do it? How do we do it? How do we prepare our hearts? It begins with examination. We need to look at our values and our priorities and our relationships. Are there crooked places in our lives that need to be straightened? Are there rough patches that need smoothing? Are there hurts and anger that we need to let go of? This season of Advent is a time to take stock. It's a time to realign our priorities. It's a time to confess and receive forgiveness. It's a time to embrace John's humility and Jesus' power and allow God's Spirit to work within us, transforming us into the very likeness of Christ. Let's walk through this season of Advent with a purpose. Let's prepare our hearts for Jesus, just as the people of Isaiah's day prepared the road for the King. Let us allow the voice in the wilderness to resonate within us, calling us to a deeper, more profound encounter with the living God who is coming to us once again in the person of Jesus Christ. The work of preparation is both personal and communal. John's message wasn't just for the individual. It was for the community and society. Advent causes us to prepare our hearts and join others in paving the way for the kingdom of God to manifest in our world. This communal aspect of preparation challenges us to look beyond ourselves and to see the needs of others and to work together for peace and for love. The wilderness experience that John the Baptist embodies is also a communal journey. It's for all of us to walk together. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, trusting, learning to trust God and live as a community under the guidance of God. Our spiritual preparation during Advent shouldn't be just a solo endeavor, but a time when we come together as a body of Christ, supporting and encouraging one another as we seek to live out the values of God's kingdom. The Jordan River, where John performed baptism, is steeped in the history of God's dealing with his people. The Jordan River was the threshold of the Promised Land, the boundary that the Israelites crossed to enter into the land God had given them to enter into God's rest. Baptism, therefore, is not just about cleansing. It's about entering into a new life, a life that is part of God's ongoing story with humanity. Baptism is the threshold of the Promised Land. When we were baptized, we entered into the Promised Land. Our baptism confirmed our status as God's children. But many of us spend years wandering around in the wilderness looking for the land, not realizing that we're already there. We're not in eternity yet, but we have entered the Promised Land. Jesus not only crossed the threshold when he was baptized, but he also invited us to follow him into this Promised Land of God's kingdom. The baptism with the Holy Spirit that he offers is not just about individual purification. It's about empowering us to be agents of God's healing and reconciliation in the world. It's time for us to stop wandering around in the wilderness and instead embrace the life that Jesus calls us to. As we think about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are reminded that it is about empowerment for service. The Spirit anoints us to continue the work that Jesus began. It calls us to preach the good news, to feed the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and healing for the sick. It calls us to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In this season of preparation, let us also prepare to be sent out. The same Spirit that rested on Jesus at his baptism is given to us. We are anointed to be bearers of the good news and to live lives that testify to the light of Christ in a world that dwells in darkness. Our Advent candles not only symbolize the light of Christ coming into the world, but also the light that we are called to carry into the world, a light that illuminates, guides, and transforms. The wilderness has been our school, the voice of John, our guide, and the promise of Christ, our hope. We've been called to make straight paths, to smooth rough roads, and to ready our hearts for the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This is not a small task. It's the work of a lifetime. As we look forward to celebrating the birth of Christ, let's also look inward and ask ourselves if we are truly ready to receive Him. Is our heart a fitting manger for the Savior? Will we allow the Holy Spirit to come to us, to renew us, to empower us? The coming of Jesus is not just a past event that we commemorate. It is a present reality that we live. It's an encounter that changes us, shapes us, and sends us forth not just one time, but every day. In the silent nights and the holy nights of this season, I pray that we all listen for that still small voice that whispers of a love so vast that it spans eternity and yet so intimate that it knows us by name. This love came down at Christmas, not just in a stable long ago, but here and now, whenever and wherever hearts are open to receive it. Bow your heads with me, please. Father God, in this holy season of waiting and preparation, help us all look within ourselves. Help us straighten the path. Help us remove the obstacles between us and Jesus. Help us embrace His love and accept His call to share His love with others. In His holy name I pray. Amen.